Hare Krishna. So Krishna also tried to make peace. He personally went to Hastinapur to mediate, and Pandava's claim was very reasonable or very, very noble. Like, they, in order to avoid war, they said, just give us 5 villages. Because a Kshatriya has to rule over some place. So a Kshatriya cannot depend upon others. Brahmana can subsist on begging, but a Kshatriya can never beg. Kshatriya has to have his possession, his land to rule over. So even 5 villages would have been fine for them. And with that kind of a very, very reasonable appeal, Krishna went to plead on behalf of the Pandavas. But not only Duryodhan didn't want to listen, Duryodhan wanted to capture Krishna and put him in his prison. And at that time, Krishna showed his universal form. And in that universal form, his body became, first it became glowing. It started to glow. Then it expanded. It started to become bigger and bigger and bigger. And then different demigods started to emanate from his body. 4 Digpals, Indra, Varun, Kuber and Jam appeared from his body and stood beside him. From his eyes came out Balaram and Arjun, and they also stood on his side. So everybody became afraid. Even Dhritarashtra, when he was hearing the description from Sanjay, Dhritarashtra wanted to see that form of Krishna. And Krishna bestowed Dhritarashtra with the divine vision for the time being so that he could see. And when all efforts failed, and Krishna left, and the war became inevitable. So next morning, Kunti approached Karna. Every morning, Karna used to go to the Ganges and he used to offer prayers to Surya, sun god. And at that time, whoever came to him and asked for something, Karna would offer it to him or her. So Kunti knew that Karna is very generous in that way, and no, Karna never refuses any boon or any charity that one wants, especially at that time when he worships Guru. So then Kunti approached Karna, and Kunti told Karna that about his birth, told everything what happened, how Durvasa came, and being pleased upon her service, Durvasa offered her a boon, granted her a power, gave her a mantra, and with that power of that mantra, she could call any demigods, which actually meant that she could have a child from a demigod in this way. But she was so young at that time, she couldn't understand the purport of that. And out of curiosity, she called sun god. And as a result of that, Karna was born. But she was unmarried at that time. So it was a very shameful thing to have a child when she was unmarried. So she put the boy in a box, wooden box, and make that box float in the river. And it was And in this way, she told Karna that how he is actually the brother of the Pandavas, the eldest brother of the Pandavas. And Karna was completely dazed hearing this inconceivable anecdote. And she couldn't, he believed it. He believed, but, and it, he also recalled that his father told him, Adhirath told him how he found him floating in the river in a box, and he thought that he was a gift from the heavenly planets. Demigods must have offered him that gift because he looked like a divine child, a child of a demigod. He had a natural armor. He was decorated with natural armor and kundal rings. And so Karna could relate, now Karna could relate to that anecdote. So now the mystery is solved. And Kunti started to tell him that please side with the Pandavas, they're your brothers. And but Karna was determined. He told her that, in my childhood you rejected me, why are you coming to me now? When does one need the mother? As a child, but at that time you rejected me. And I was brought up with the understanding that Adhirath is my father and Radha is my mother. And they brought me up with all their affection. And they have given me so much. My whole life I owe to them. So how can at this point I can reject them? And besides that, for so many years, Duryodhan has given me everything. How can I forget his friendship at this point when the war is imminent? And finally Karna told her that okay, since you come to me, your coming to me will not go in vain. My animosity is only with Arjuna. So in the battle I won't kill other sons of yours. I'll only fight with Arjuna. And in that fight, either he will survive or I'll survive. So at the end of the day, you will have your five sons. So she promised, he promised that he wouldn't kill any of her other sons, only Arjuna that he will kill. He'll fight with. Either he'll be killed or Arjuna will be killed. So, dejected and broken-hearted, Kunti went back. Then Krishna also made an appointment. While leaving Hastinapur, Krishna also made an appointment with Karna. He wanted to speak to him privately. So when Krishna went to the western gate, Karna was waiting for him. So Krishna picked Karna up in his chariot. And Krishna also made the same proposal. Knowing that Duryodhana's main strength and hope is Karna. So if he can somehow get Karna to leave Duryodhana and join the Pandavas, then it will be a great achievement. So, then Krishna proposed to him, saying that,
that you are his brother, you are Pandava's brothers. Like, if the mother has a child before marriage, then after marriage, the child is considered to be the child of the husband of that wife. So in that way, you are Pandava's brothers. And you side with them. And since you are the elder brother, the Pandavas will worship you, treat you as their elder brother, and they will make you the monarch of the entire earth planet. And just consider, with Bhima and Arjun on your sides, Yudhishthira Maharaj will follow you, and Arjun and Bhima will be protecting you, as you're protecting in the sense they'll be on your sides, and Yudhishthira will hold the umbrella for you. So Karna again declined, and he also told him the same thing. I can't give up Duryodhana. Although I know, he told Krishna, I know we are going to lose the battle. I know I'll die in this battle. But still I can't give up Duryodhana. Because I know when you Pandavas have you, the victory is theirs. Nothing can stop them from you. So this Karna was quite a noble person. And he said, undoubtedly words are meant for my benefit, my good. O Keshav, I know now that I am Kunti's son, and in that respect I am Pandu's son also. So I am one of the Pandus, Pandavas. But the thing is that she abandoned me when I was raised by Adhirath and his wife. They have loved me as parents, and have always seen me as their son. And at the same time, Duryodhana, since the time I was so badly humiliated, and Duryodhana had been my friend, he gave me the kingdom to rule over, and he had been always with me through thick and thin, and I have pledged my alliance to him. So, please forgive me. So, and then Karna got out of the chariot, and his chariot was following, so he went back. And so soon after Krishna left, on the other hand, Dhritarashtra called for another meeting. Decided to call the last council to discuss the strategy, what to do. And especially after seeing Krishna's universal form, Dhritarashtra was extremely worried. He knew that no power in this world can stand against that, can face that. So Dhritarashtra was petrified. And so he called for a meet council, and everyone, he asked Bhishma to advise, Drona to advise, Kripacharya to advise, and then he finally asked Vidura's advice, and all of them advised him to stop Duryodhana from fighting. Give their half the kingdom to them and live peacefully. And everyone spoke about the Pandavas' power. Bhishma, Drona, Kripacharya, because it was obvious. Arjuna alone defeated them twice. When they were stealing Virat's cow, alone, single-handedly, and with a charioteer like Uttar, a little boy, because the charioteer has to be very expert in order to make the warrior fight the battle properly. And still Arjuna defeated them. when the Gandharva king Chitrasen attacked Duryodhan and his brothers and captured them, took them as prisoners, then Arjun and Bhim actually came to rescue. So that shows that they are more powerful than our army. So why unnecessarily get into a fight with them? Like, make an ally. And finally, when Vidura spoke very, very strongly. And Duryodhan knew that Vidura can't stand his guts. Not that Vidura hated him as such, but the way he was behaving, the way he was, that was causing him concern that he is going to be the cause of the destruction of the entire dynasty. The whole dynasty will be finished. So, that's why Vidura was always giving that advice to Dhritarashtra, that get rid of this son of yours. And Vidura had been telling him that from the time of Duryodhana's birth. When Duryodhana was born and all kinds of inauspicious signs became so obvious, then Vidura told Dhritarashtra, this bad omen is forecasting a great disaster. The great disaster that is going to be caused by this child, newborn child. So get rid of him now. So from that time only Vidura has been advising Dhritarashtra. And Vidura reminded Dhritarashtra now also that get rid of this curse in the family. Duryodhana could not tolerate that. And he started to insult Vidura, saying this person is like a dog. He has been maintained by us, and he dares to speak against us. No gratitude at all. And in this way, when he insulted Vidura, Vidura walked away. And it was Vidura was happy, because if he was in the palace, then he had to side with the Kauravas. So now he is free. He won't have to side with them. So Vidura went on a pilgrimage. Another person went on a pilgrimage at that time was Balaram. When Duryodhan went to solicit Krishna to side with him, and Krishna gave his army to Duryodhan, and he was accepted by Arjun, although he wouldn't be fighting. Duryodhan was very happy. So he still thought that now if I can get Balaram to side with me, then I am a sure winner. But Balaram told him, Duryodhan, when I went to Virat's capital during Abhimanyu's wedding with Uttara, and at that time I tried to speak in your favor, and Satyaki blasted me. And I could see that Krishna is siding with the Pandavas. And I already heard that Krishna made a condition that whoever he sides with, he won't fight for them. And on the other hand, his entire army. And so Arjun has accepted Krishna. So since Krishna is siding with the Pandavas, I can't go against Krishna. I can't go against Krishna. So I decided that I won't side with anybody. I won't fight. So that was Balaram's point. And When the battle was about to begin, Balaram with some of the Jadus, Uddhav, Pradyumna, he left on a pilgrimage accompanied by thousands of Brahmanas. He went on a pilgrimage. So these are the two persons who are not present during the battle of Kurukshetra. So Vidura in this way left. And when Krishna returned to Vidat, then Yudhishthira and his brothers were very happy to greet him. And Krishna told them everything. The only thing he didn't tell them was his discussion with Karna. Because he knew that if Yudhishthira Maharaj gets to know that Karna is his elder brother, then he'll not have any claim over the kingdom whatsoever. So that's why Krishna thought, better not to tell him now. To tell him in due course of time. And so Krishna then described everything, how Duryodhana tried to capture him. And Pandavas were not surprised to hear about the description because they knew. Because that Duryodhana cannot take good advice. He is so sinful that he will always stick to his sinful nature. And so, and Krishna assured Yudhishthira Maharaj that the army that you have, this army can even conquer three worlds. What to speak of the Kauravas? Which actually meant that since he is with them, they are going to win. There is no doubt about that. And Krishna actually made some very nice point. He said, don't worry, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was telling that Duryodhana's attitude will never change, Krishna said, yes, his attitude will change. His attitude will change when he sees the mood of Arjun, Bhim, Sahadev, Nakul, Sahadev, with Abhimanyu and Draupadi's sons, when he sees them in the battlefield, and when they see, when he will see that how they are going to wipe out their army, then his attitude will change. And in this way, again Krishna assured that the victory is assured. And Duryodhana and his brothers will repent for their folly. And he said, even I endeavored to acquire peace, secure peace. And this way, we have paid our debt to virtue. I went on your behalf just to pay our virtue, that we did not stray from the path of virtue. So this is the wonderful thing about Mahabharata. So we have how to act, how to behave, what is the righteous way, what is the way of righteousness. This is all time and time again has been very wonderfully demonstrated. So then the next morning, they set out for the battlefield. So it's actually I read this from this point because the descriptions are very, very beautiful. I want to specifically read it in detail because people unfortunately, most of the people in India, they are not aware of their heritage. Due to the education system established in India by the British, the Indians have been made to think that India was an uncivilized country. And the civilization came from them. Now this happened 5,000 years ago. And see how cultured, how civilized, how organized and how advanced they were. So, the description of how the army moved. Drummers beat drums as a huge army began to trek to Kurukshetra. In front of the army marched Bhima and Madri's two sons, clad in shining armors. Behind them came Dhrishtadyumna, surrounded by Draupadi's sons and Abhimanyu. The soldiers were cheerful and they shouted with joy. Yudhishthir rode in their midst. In the front were Bhima, Nakul and Sahadev, and behind them were Dhrishtadyumna surrounded by Draupadi's son. Then the army was moving and in the middle of the army was Yudhishthir Maharaj. Because this is the custom. The king has to be protected. Because if king is dead, or if king is captured, then the battle is lost. In this way we can see this system is so clear. How many of you know how to play chess? Okay, in chess, where the king is? In the middle, protected by everybody. Isn't it? So, of course, in the regular army, the generals and the big warriors, they'll be in the front. Now, they won't be cowards hiding at the back. They'll be right in the front, guiding commanding the army. So, Yudhishthir Maharaj was mounted on a golden chariot and dressed in golden armor. He held his great spear. By his side rode Arjuna with Krishna as his charioteer. On numerous chariots around Yudhishthir, his treasury was carried. His treasury went along with him to the battlefield. And treasury was carried in numerous chariots. Not just one or two chariots. Hundreds of chariots are carrying the treasury. Because to fight the battle, you need money. You need wealth. And then it carried along with servants and attendants of the army. Behind the army came a long line of supply chariots holding provisions, spare weapons and other goods. Thousands of physicians and surgeons were also in attendance. As the army traveled, the Pandavas arranged for charity to be distributed to Brahmanas along the way. They passed near many villages and colonies, but they carefully avoided temples and hermitages so as not to defile any holy place and thus bring misfortune upon the army. Brahmins constantly recited Vedic mantras along the length of the procession of millions of men. Stopping each night at sunset and camping wherever they were, they went by slow marches. On the sixth night, they reached Kurukshetra, where they camped around Lake Hiranvati. In the center of the encampment, servants erected a large tent for the Pandavas. This tent would also serve as the battle headquarters. Surrounding it, Krishna, Drishtadyumna, Drupad, Virat, and the other army chiefs had tents erected. So the central tent was for the Pandavas. And then around that, there were other generals and important persons. The provisions were also placed in well-guarded tents near the center. The armor, weapons, and chariot parts placed in piles resembled large hills, as did the heaps of grains, ghee, honey, and other foodstuffs. Many thousands of elephants had been assembled, looking like moving mountains and wearing coats of steel covered with spikes. There are also fighting machines of all types, which are capable of throwing rocks, iron pellets, burning oil, lances, and red-hot iron shots. So we can see that, and when the battle starts, we'll see how advanced they were. They were not fighting with just ordinary weapons. Although apparently it seemed like they were fighting with bows and arrows, but those arrows were celestial arrows empowered with mantra. 1,000 times more powerful than machine guns and cannons of today. These weapons were 1,000,000 times more powerful than even atomic weapons. So 7 divisions of Pandava army were then placed under the 7 commanders. Yesterday we discussed about those commanders of the army. As the Pandavas were speaking about the arrangements, Balaram arrived. So when Pandavas were, then Balaram arrived. And Balaram Balaram arrived with Akrura, Uddhava, Samba, Pradyumna and other leading personalities of Dwarka. So, and Balaram told them that he is not going to side with anybody. Now that Krishna is sided with them, he wants to remain neutral. So, since Krishna sided with them, he is not going to go against Krishna. And so he decided to go on a pilgrimage. So after Balaram left, another person came. And that was Rukmi. You remember who is Rukmi? Huh? Rukmini's brother. Who actually wanted Rukmini to be married to Shishupal, Krishna's enemy. And you remember how he was humiliated by Krishna? So he came with one Akshohini soldier. And he came to the Pandava camp and he started to brag, he started to boast that I have come to fight with you, don't worry, I will take care of. So this enraged them so much that they said, look, we don't want you to side with us. And Arjun told him that, why should I need your help? You are boasting that you are going to help us. But why should we need your help? And he said, when I fought with the Nibat Kavachas in the nether world, did you come to help? Did I need your help? When I released the Kauravas from the Gandharvas, did I need your help? When they were stealing Virat's cows, did I need your help? So in this way, he gracefully told them that we don't need your help. So being rejected in this way, Rukmi actually came with a good intention. He thought that he'll make up for his relationship with Krishna if he came and sided with where Krishna was. But Pandavas did not. He was, when he started to boast like that, Pandavas didn't care for him. And then he went to Duryodhana. And there also he started to boast like that. And Duryodhana also rejected him. So ultimately Rukmi left, thinking, okay, let them fight and kill each other. I don't care. And early next morning, Yudhishthira Maharaj made his final preparation, and his spies had reported, he had spies who came and reported everything that happened in Kaurava camp. So that is another thing that they used to do those days. They used to have their spies. And sometimes these spies were so powerful that they could change their form. Like when Ravan came, sent Sukha and Saran as spies, this Rakshasa assumed the form of a bird and went there. But Bibhishan recognized them and they were caught and they were in trouble. So anyway, so somebody may wonder that how could they have spies? Like this is how they used to have their espionage. This way we can see that how much more advanced espionage system they used to have those days. And one thing, of course, happened in the meantime, that Bhishma, although Kauravas were counting on him so much, Bhishma actually narrated the history that how Shikhandi has been born to kill him. So although in one hand he is immortal, but by the arrangement of the superior arrangement, Shikhandi is there to kill him. And this anecdote I mentioned earlier, how Amba was, Amba who already gave herself to Shalva, and when she told that to Bhishma, Bhishma let her go. She went to Shalva, then Shalva refused her. Then she came to Bhishma and asked Bhishma to marry her. And Bhishma had to refuse. Bhishma refused her. Then she wanted to take revenge. She went to the forest and she tried in various ways. And ultimately she even approached Parashuram, Bhishma's spiritual master. And then Parashuram came and asked Bhishma to marry Amba. But Bhishma refused, and then they fought, and the battle was so fierce. And in that battle, neither of them could defeat each other. And then finally, Parashuram stopped to fight. So frustrated, Amba prayed to Lord Shiva after performing great austerity. And he came and benedicted her that in her next life she'll be born as a woman and then she'll change her sex and become a man. And that's how she'll be able to kill Bhishma. And so we can see that even the women those days were so powerful. So what did Amba do at that time? She lit a huge fire and entered into the fire and gave up her body. And she was born as Drupad's daughter, as Shikhandi. And then she changed her sex and became a man. And Shikhandi also became a great warrior, and he became the cause of Bhishma's death. So Bhishma knew that. And Bhishma, so Bhishma told them that Shikhandi has been born to kill me. So I'll die in this battle. So don't count so much. Dronacharya also narrated the story how Drishtadyumna has been born. He came from the sacrificial fire to kill him. So in this way, it was destined that now they're going to die. And but at the same time, Bhishma, when Duryodhana was quite adamant, so he asked Bhishma, how long will it take you to defeat the Pandavas? So Bhishma said it will take him 1 month. So that is what they reported. And Yudhishthir Maharaj was very much concerned. And okay, now before the battle started, Bhishma claimed that he can slay the army for a month. And then Yudhishthir Maharaj asked Arjun, how long do you think it will take us to defeat them? And so Arjun glanced at Krishna, and he knew that since Krishna is with them, victory is theirs. Doesn't matter how long it will take, but the victory is theirs. So he said, the Kuru warriors are all high-minded heroes who are expert in wielding weapons. But do not be anxious, dear brother. Our enemies will not have a chance to slay us. I say truly that with Krishna's aid, I can uproot the three worlds in a moment. So when Krishna is there, with Krishna's help, I can do anything. Alone I may not be able to do anything. But because Krishna is with us, we'll be able to uproot the three worlds. And he told him that I possess Lord Shiva's personal weapon, which Lord Shiva gave him, the Pashupat. And that weapon alone is capable of annihilating the creation. None of the Kauravas know this weapon. But I won't use that weapon. I won't have to use that weapon. So then the army is left for the battlefield. The next morning they just came and faced each other. And on both sides there were the encampments. Pandavas' camp was on the western side and Kauravas were in the eastern side. Pandava camp was looking towards east and Kaurava was looking towards west. And in this way, their camps were there. In the morning, all the soldiers, all the warriors left. But the camps were busy. They were making preparations, cooking and all kinds of. There were Vaishyas came with their merchandise and everything, supply. So very, very well prepared arrangement. It's very nice, this part. So when the battle was about to begin, the generals of the two sides came, and the commanders of the two sides met to agree on the rules of battle. So they fought the battle following some rule. And no one should strike another. The rules were like, no one should strike another without warning, but should first challenge him. One who surrenders or one fleeing from the fight should never be struck down The many servants on the battlefield carrying weapons and other paraphernalia will not be killed. So these were all the rules of the battle. And so both the generals came. Like in a match also, two captains of two sides come and they agree on the rules. And see, similarly here, the generals actually came, commanders of the army came, and they made a condition that the rules will not be broken. And so after making the rule, when Bhishma was about to leave, Bhishma was made the general of the Kaurava side, and Drishtadyumna was made the general of the Pandava side. So it was Drishtadyumna and Bhishma. So when the commander spoke for some time, when all the rules had been established, Drishtadyumna became thoughtful. He knew that Duryodhan and his henchmen had never shown much regard for righteousness. Like Duryodhan and his followers never showed any inclination towards honest dealings. So it occurred to him that will they really stick to the rules and things of the war? So Drishtadyumna then, as Bhishma and his generals were about to leave, Drishtadyumna voiced his doubts, and he told that we will respect these stipulations, but I make one provision. If the Kauravas forget our agreement and fight without respect for the rules, then we too shall adopt whatever tactics we deem appropriate. So he met the condition. Yes, we will follow the rules as long as you don't break the rules. If you break the rules, then we won't honor this. And we'll see in the battle, they broke the rule when they killed Abhimanyu. And then the whole battle became bizarre. Anyway, so that will come in course of time. So, and Bhishma replied, so be it. And so the warriors went back to their respective position to start the battle. And Sanjay was telling Dhritarashtra. Sanjay was with Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra was in anxiety. And Sanjay was his counselor. Sanjay was his secretary, actually. So Dhritarashtra was in anxiety, what will happen, the battle is starting. And Sanjay always told Dhritarashtra, that it is your fault. It is your fault. All the sinful activities that your sons have committed, now it is coming to fruition. Now the time has come. All the cultivation has been going on for all these years. And now the time has come to reap the harvest. What kind of harvest? The harvest of your sinful activities. So in this way he was talking. At that time Vasudev arrived there. So Vasudev also forecasted that all Dhritarashtra's sons will be dead. And Dhritarashtra was so blind. Actually he was helpless. He couldn't control Duryodhana. And mainly because of his filial affection for him. He was so attached to Duryodhana. Actually he was so attached to becoming the king. That was the main. And through Duryodhana, he was trying to fulfill that deep-rooted desire. That's why his name is Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, trying to hold on to the Rashtra, the capital kingdom. So Vasudev at that time told him, okay, Dhritarashtra, I will give you the sight so that you can see what's happening in the battlefield. So Dhritarashtra declined. He said, no, I don't want to see the slaughter of my sons. So then Vasudev told him, told Sanjay, that, okay, then I'll give you the sight so that you can narrate to him what's happening in the battlefield. He's so anxious to know what's happening in the battlefield, so I'll give the sight. And that is how Sanjay could actually tell. And in the battlefield, Duryodhan was trying to encourage his warriors, Yudhishthir Maharaj went to Arjun and told him that Brihaspati suggested that when the enemy is outnumbering your army, then you arrange your army in a formation called Suchimuk. So that was the first thing that they did, arrangement that they did from Pandava side. And then, as you know, then Arjun was facing the Kauravas army and he told Krishna, please take the chariot close to them, close to the enemy line, so that I can see who I have to fight with. And as a result of that, Bhagavad Gita came out. So I'm not going into details of Bhagavad Gita because you all are aware of it. And then finally Arjun told Krishna that my illusion has been dispelled. Nashtamoha, Smritir Labdha, Tat Prasadat, Mayachyuta, Kritosmi, Gatosandeho, Kalishe Vajanata. And my dear Krishna, my illusion is gone, and by your mercy, I have regained my memory. I am now firm and free from doubt. I shall act according to your divine instruction. So at that time, the rishis and siddhas, they all appeared in the sky to watch this glorious Dharma Yudha. And they gazed in wonder at Arjun's chariot, amazed to see that Krishna has become his chariot driver. They know who Krishna is. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has become his chariot driver. So, but at that time, a strange thing happened. All of a sudden, everyone saw that Yudhishthir Maharaj took off his armor, dropped his weapons, got out of his chariot, and started to walk towards the Kaurava. And all the Kauravas became stunned. The Pandavas became stunned. They thought, what's happening? Is he now going to surrender everything to them without a fight? Now he's. And the Kauravas started to laugh at him. He said, look at him. We all knew that he's a coward. Now seeing our army, he has become afraid. So now he is coming to surrender. But Yudhishthira Maharaj walked straight to Bhishma's chariot. And Arjun was in great anxiety at that time. But Krishna told him, Arjun, don't worry. He had actually gone to show his respect to the superiors. Because he knows, the scripture says, Yudhishthira Maharaj is so wise, the scriptural injunction is that when you are fighting with your superior, you must take their permission and take their blessings. Then you will win. So the Bhishma, Yudhishthira Maharaj went to Bhishma. And when Bhishma saw Yudhishthira Maharaj coming, He understood why he was coming, so he also got out of the chair. Yudhishthira Maharaj touched his feet and told him that I have come to seek your permission to fight against you. And also I have come to seek your blessing in this battle. And so then Bhishma was very pleased. Bhishma told him that actually Yudhishthir, if you didn't have come, then I would have cursed you and you have lost the battle. But now that you have come, tell me what benediction you want. I am very pleased, yes, I am blessing you, and also I am prepared to give you some benediction. So Yudhishthira told him, if you really want to give me a benediction, then please tell me how we can kill you. So, Bhishma said, yes, in due course of time I'll tell you, not now. I'll tell you when the time comes, because the time for me to die hasn't come as yet. So I'll tell you. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj went to Dronacharya and did the same thing. And Dronacharya also told him that Yudhishthira, had you not have come, I would have cursed you. But now that you have come to seek for my permission and blessings, I am granting it. And tell me, and I want to give you a boon. Ask for anything. So Yudhishthira Maharaj also told Dronacharya, ask Dronacharya, please tell me, how can I kill you? So Dronacharya told him that I am invincible in a battle. When I'm fighting a battle, no one can defeat me, no one can kill me. But if some extremely undesirable thing happens, and if I get to hear it from a extremely reliable source, then I will drop my weapons, stop fighting. Then only somebody can. So Dronacharya gave him the secret. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj went to Kripacharya and did the same thing. So Kripacharya also gave him the permission to fight and gave him the benediction. And so Yudhishthira Maharaj also asked him, because he was also another very powerful person. And Kripacharya said that nobody can kill me. But one thing I can tell you, that the victory will be yours. That's a blessing that you give me. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj came back and then Yudhishthira Maharaj went to Shalva and did the same thing. And Shalva also told him the same thing. I would have cursed you if you didn't have come. And he wanted to give him, tell him some boon, some benediction. So Yudhishthira Maharaj told him that, as I told you, like when you are driving the chariot of Karna in his battle against Arjun, then please discourage him, saying all kinds of things to him. Shalva said, okay, I'll do that. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj came back to his chariot and put on his armor, and then he declared that if anybody from the Kaurava army wants to join me, join our side, please feel free to come. So he made that announcement. And everyone was silent. But then everyone saw that one chariot was moving. And that chariot came to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And who was in the chariot? It was Jujutsu, Duryodhana's brother. Dhritarashtra had another son from a Vaishya woman, and that is Jujutsu. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, "Very good, welcome to our side." And he said that at least the line of Dhritarashtra will be maintained by you, because all the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra will be killed. So you will be the only one surviving to maintain the family life. And so now I will read that part. It's very exciting because I'm reading them because I know just description will not bring that real flavor of it. So seeing that the moment of battle has arrived, the warriors on both sides began to shout in exultation. Now they would die and be elevated to the heavenly realm, or they would emerge victorious. Either they will win or they will die. So, what is that verse? Jitva ba moksha shi mahim. Hatova praptoshi prapshoshi sarvam. Yitva bhokshashi. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that if you die, then you will be elevated to the heavenly planet. And if you win, then you will enjoy the earth planet. So, what's the loss? So, that's why the Kshatriya warriors were so valiant, so powerful. They were not afraid to die. They would fight till death because they know that if they die, then they will be elevated to the heavenly planets. And is it just blind faith? No. That is what really happens. To the sound of thousands of conches, trumpets and drums, the warriors rushed at each other with uplifted weapons. The earth shook and clouds of dust rolled into the air as they advanced. They sounded and appeared like two great oceans coming together. The two sides, and they're just charging towards each other. Bhima's cries rose above the tumult as he raced ahead of the Pandava forces, roaring like a bull. Hearing his shouts, which drowned out other sounds, the Kaurava soldiers became afraid. Horses and elephants passed urine and excrement, faltering as they ran. Dhritarashtra's sons were struck with terror as Bhima came towards them, his mace whirling above his head. Bhima laughed at his frightened foes. At last the moment had arrived. Now he could finally release his full fury of his anger. Taking heart, the Kauravas shouted out their own battle cries and waved their bows in the air. They surrounded Bhima and began firing snake-like arrows at him. Laughing as the arrows glanced off his armor, he struck other shafts down with his mace. Bhima shook off their attack. He replied with thousands of his own arrows, dispersing the Kaurava princes all directions. Abhimanyu and Draupadi's sons, along with Nakul, Sahadev and Drishtadyumna, advanced in a body and tore into the Kaurava forces, scattering arrows everywhere. Neither side flinched nor turned back from the violence as they hurled their weapons at one another. The twang of bowstrings and the slap of strings hitting leather arm protectors and gloves was heard everywhere. The air was full of swift flowing arrows, spears, darts, and iron balls fell on both armies in the thousands. The blare of conch shells, the lion-like roar of warriors, the heavy tread of infantry, the neighing of horses, the clash of weapons, the clatter of chariot wheels, the jingle of bells around the elephants' necks, the elephants' trumpeting, and the beating of drums mingled to produce a hair-raising uproar. Recklessly, the warriors rushed forward. Arjuna immediately engaged with Bhishma. With lightness of hand, he fired countless arrows at him, but Bhishma countered them all. He returned numerous shafts at Arjuna. Even though Bhishma's arrows pierced him, Arjuna did not waver, nor could he shake Bhishma. As he sent at him his own deadly shafts, the two heroes exchanged arrows while the fight raged around them. As the battle got underway, the sky began to flash red and blue, while black clouds showered flesh and blood onto the fields. A terrible wind blew, carrying innumerable stones and afflicting all the troops. The loud rumble of thunder resounded and bolts of lightning struck the earth. Powerful chariot warriors engaged with other chariot fighters, while infantry battled infantry and horsemen engaged with other mounted troops. The warriors sought out their marked enemies. Bhima assailed Duryodhan, Sahadev Shakuni, and Drishtadyumna Drona. As other kings and Kshatriyas came to their aid, the battle became general and weapons flew in all directions. On both sides of the armies, divisions of Rakshasas marched. Ghatotkach led a division of Rakshasas on the Pandavas' behalf, and the powerful Olambush led the Rakshasas for the Kauravas. These awful beings created a huge carnage among the soldiers as they wielded their axes and bludgeons. The warriors fought as if possessed by demons. No quarter was shown. Amid the terrible confusion, fathers could not recognize their sons, brothers their brothers, nor friend their friends. Uncles slew their nephews and cousins like cousins killed cousins. Men hecked and struck at one another with swords, spiked maces, and heavy clubs. Streams of blood flowed freely across the ground, carrying mutilated and severed limbs. Chariots smashed against chariots, breaking them to pieces, while elephants tore into other elephants, gouging them with their steel-tipped tusks. Bhishma fought with fury. His tall standard, bearing a palm tree and five stars, glided through the Pandava army, leaving a trail of bodies and shattered chariots in its wake. With his straight arrows, he severed the heads and limbs of all who came before him. The old Kuru hero seemed to be dancing in his chariot as he whirled about, wielding his bow. His deadly shafts were fired with such power that they would pierce even great elephants to their vitals, sending them tumbling to the earth. Seeing the destruction Bhishma was causing, Abhimanyu rushed towards him, shouting out a challenge. Bhishma was protected by 5 Maharathas, heroes. But Abhimanyu attacked them all, firing arrows that flew with blinding speed. He held up Bhishma's protectors while simultaneously attacking him. With one well-aimed arrow, he cut Bhishma's bow in 2. Another 3 arrows cut down his standard, which fluttered to the floor of his chariot. Witnessing Abhimanyu's lightness of hand, even the celestials were pleased. The warriors who saw him considered that he was in no way inferior to his father. His bow, which sounded just like Gandiva, seemed like a circle of fire as he continuously released arrows. As the godlike prince spun in his chariot, his shafts appeared to be leaving his bow in all directions at once. Under attack, Bhishma gathered himself and fought back. He wounded Arjuna's son with 9 arrows, then cut down his standard with 3 more. Kritavarma, Shalya, and Kripa, who were among Bhishma's protectors, all assailed Abhimanyu, but they could not make him waver. He repelled their attack while maintaining his assault on Bhishma. The warriors, witnessing the fight, all praised Abhimanyu's prowess, calling out, "Bravo, well done." Bhishma covered Arjuna's son with thousands of arrows. As he increased the ferocity of his attack, a number of other Pandava heroes headed by Bhima came to Abhimanyu's aid. All of them aimed their weapons at Bhishma. Not the least perturbed, Bhishma sent his long golden shafts at all of them. The prince of Virat, Bhuminjay, also came to support Abhimanyu. Shalya attacked him, and a fierce battle ensued between the 2 fighters. Bhuminjay was mounted on a huge elephant, and he rushed at Shalya, wielding his lance. The elephant placed its foot onto the yoke of Shalya's chariot, crushing and killing the 4 horses. Remaining on his chariot, Shalya took out a large iron dart and hurled it at Bhuminjaya with all his strength. That dart pierced his armor and went into his chest. The prince fell lifeless from his elephant, his hook and lance falling from his hands. Shalya jumped down from his chariot, raising his sword. He brought down and severed the elephant's trunk. As the great beast fell dead, Shalya quickly climbed onto Kritavarma's chariot, being praised for his heroism by all the fighters present. Bhuminjaya's brother Shweta saw Shalya killed his brother. Blazing with anger, he rushed at the king of Madra like an infuriated elephant. As Bhishma slew the Pandava troops, Shweta killed large number of Kaurava army. In his fury, none could stand before him. After some time only, he and Bhishma remained facing one another. They attacked each other like 2 enraged lions. Showers of arrows sped through the sky like golden-winged birds. Each fighter wounded the other. Shweta, with blood flowing from his wounds, fired 25 arrows into Bhishma's body. He then cut Bhishma's bow with another 10 arrows. With still more arrows, he killed Bhishma's horses and charioteer. Without hesitating, Bhishma took up another bow and jumped down from his chariot. He continued fighting the prince on foot. Shweta then took out a golden dart and called out, "Wait only a moment, O Bhishma. I will slay you at once." He hurled the dart, which fell with the dirt. The dart fell towards Bhishma like a comet. The many warriors watching the fight cried out, "Alas, Bhishma is slain." Bhishma, however, was not slain. He sent 8 arrows at the dart and cut it into pieces. He fought on with the prince, who became senseless with fury as he saw his dart checked. Shweta took up a huge spike mace and rushed toward Bhishma. Ganga's son, mounted on a fresh chariot brought by his aides, considered the attack unstoppable. He leapt clear of his chariot just as the prince brought the mace down upon it. The force of the blow smashed the chariot standard, that means the flagpole, horses and charioteer. Bhishma got up on another chariot and resumed his attack on Shweta. The prince had now mounted his own chariot and Bhishma advanced towards him. As the two warriors closed on one another, continuously releasing weapon, Bhishma heard a voice from the sky. O Bhishma, O mighty armed hero, the time fixed for Shweta's destruction has arrived. Fight on with all your power and gain victory. Bhishma looked at Shweta. He was flanked by numerous Pandava warriors, among them Bhima, Abhimanyu and Shaktaki. Encouraged by the divine voice, however, he attacked Shweta alone while parrying the other attacks. Coming close to the Virata prince, he took up an arrow which resembled the rod of death. He placed the golden shaft decked with gems onto his bow and drew back the string to his ear, imbuing the arrow with the force of Brahma's weapon. He released it to kill Shweta. With a flash like a thunderbolt, the arrow struck the prince on the chest and passed clean through his body. It entered the earth like a snake going into its hole, carrying with it the hero's life. Shweta fell from his chariot like a peak loosened from the summit of a mountain. The Pandava sent up cries of lamentation while the Kauravas shouted joyously. Duryodhan and Dushasan danced in delight. They repeatedly praised Bhishma as the loud music of trumpets and drums sounded. The sun was slowly disappearing over the western horizon. And Arjun and Dhrishtadyumna withdrew their troops. The true armies entered their respective camps for the night. The Pandavas cheerfully and the Kauravas laughingly and shouting. So this is how the first day of the battle ended. By the way, this Bhumanjaya is actually Uttar. The Drupad son who drove the chariot for Arjun. That was his another name of Uttar is actually Bhumanjaya. Bhuminjaya. So, I just wanted to give you a real taste of the battle, how it was. And this description, at least from the description, you can get an understanding how furious, how nerve-stimulating this wars actually were. Blood-curdling. Okay, so thank you all very much. Does anybody have any question?
Loyalty to Duryodhan and Yana is
material point of view, from the material point of view of material morality, it is, yes, it's all praiseworthy. But the ultimate consideration is not material. The ultimate consideration is spiritual. And that ultimate spiritual consideration is, no matter what, side with Krishna. Don't go against Krishna. So that is the thing that we, those who know the secret, become reminded time and time again. No matter what. You see, if Karna came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, then he would have behaved in a different way. Because all these considerations are mundane. It's all sentimental, isn't it? When Karna is dead and Adhirath is dead, will they be able to recognize each other in the next life? They won't be. So that is the consideration. Like, all these material considerations are only temporary. It's all in relation to this material nature. All in relation to the body, both the gross and subtle body. But the consideration of the soul is different. The subtle body, elevation to heavenly planet, is the subtle body's consideration. It's the subtle body that will be elevated to heaven and enjoy. The morality or piety, righteousness, all these are simply to be elevated to the higher planetary systems. But elevation to spiritual sky depends upon one's self.
And also
the
Maharaj quoted actually fixed the date and the time and the venue of battle.
Who fixed the date?
When was it that Krishna came back? You know, and then how did they decide, okay, we're going to fight on this day?
Well, it was decided, now they're going to fight. So, okay, Kurukshetra is going to be the place where, because there are certain fields, like where they actually make the thing for. So, in Mahabharata there is no description of having fixed the place and time. The description is the Pandavas moved on. And Kauravas moved there. Yeah. Who? Duryodhana. Yeah, actually, like, there is also a statement like that. When somebody's death is near, then he loses all consideration of logic and reason. And Duryodhana responded to that. He said, it's just a magic. What Krishna displayed is some magic. What's that? Well, you see, both of them learned the art of mess fight from Balaram. And Duryodhan was actually very, very good at that. And most probably, I'm not sure, but most really, that is what made Balaram have a soft corner for Duryodhana. And ultimately we have to see, Krishna is very strict. He sighs, he protects only the righteous ones. But those who are sinful, they should have some shelter somewhere, right? So Balaram is so merciful that he gives shelter to them, those who are absolutely hopeless. So Balaram, being the original spiritual master, is extremely merciful. And his thing is that, I mean, Krishna is not going to show his favor. So they have to have some shelter. Okay, let's give the shelter. So that is the ultimate consideration.
Guru Maharaj, is it true that young people, innocent people will have to be consequent reaction for the actions, bad actions of their elders and rulers?
The kings generally, it is said, because the king collects 1/6 of the wealth as a tax, the king takes 1/6 of the result of that, their citizens. And when the citizens are ruled by the king, the impious king's reactions come in the form of association. Because there, you see, say for example, like eating food, like that we discussed yesterday. Those who eat food given by impious people, they develop their characteristics. They become affected by their nature. Like for example, Karna, such a noble person. But he is completely different when he is in company with Duryodhana. He is being affected by that. And of course there is another consideration here that it says in the scriptures that one should not stay in the country which is ruled by an impious king. Mainly the brahmanas, the wise brahmanas leave that place. So I'll stop now.